Hello, you are listening to KDRT LP 95.7 FM. This is Corinne Motokaitis, host of How She Really Does It, where inspiration and possibility meet. I believe there are many valuable lessons to be learned from other people's journeys. My lifelong quest has been to use inspirational success stories to motivate and empower others to achieve their personal best. How She Really Does It dives into the depths to truly understand what motivates people in order to help others realize their own personal potential and goals. We love to hear our listeners' comments about our shows or questions for upcoming guests. Email us by going to our website, howshereallydoesit.com, and click contact to send us an email. And our past shows are available on our website or as podcasts from iTunes. Many of you who are listening today are familiar with one of our guests, Mark Allen. Yes, that's Dave Scott's arch rival. Mark Allen and Dave Scott had quite the rivalry, with Mark beating the reigning world record holder and six-time Ironman triathlon champion in 1989. Allen went on to win a career total of six Ironman triathlon championships, his final one at the age of 37, making him the oldest champion ever. Allen credits the wisdom and teachings of his renowned shaman and healer, Brant Secunda, as a secret to his success. And together, two men co-wrote the book, Fit Soul, Fit Body. Welcome.
Thank you. We're happy to be here.
Thank you. It's great to be speaking to somebody from Dave Scott's home turf.
I almost emailed him this week just to let him know, but I decided not to. First I want to talk to Mark just about the Ironman triathlon, because, you know, obviously Dave Scott, people care a lot about him in this community. Mm-hmm. And, my husband coaches, he's a men's swim coach at UC Davis, and he was the youth swim team coach. And so he's a little bit younger than Dave, but he's known Dave for years. And I have a direct tie with the Scots, because Anna was my college swim coach for 1 year and stuff. So my husband's like, oh, you need to talk to him about the greatest race. I do want to talk about the Ironman triathlon, because it's a phenomenal race. We're talking, 20 years ago? It was 20 years ago when you beat Dave Scott.
This is the 20th anniversary, 1989.
Wow. And
time flies.
Wow.
It feels like about 3 or 4 years ago. I think I look the same until I look in the mirror, and then I see things have changed.
And you write in your book about just about your mind and what the thoughts that were going through, because that was going to be your last race, 1989.
Yeah, that was going to be my last attempt to win. I had raced the event six times prior to that, starting in 1982, and every year I fell short for one reason or another. And on the surface, it just looked like I didn't have the right kind of training. But in the end, I realized that I had a fit body, but to win that race, which is so challenging, I needed something else. I needed to change, really, who I was as a person, and to strengthen that. And, you know, we all have our Ironman moments where we're required to do our best. But I only had half of what I needed, and I was just so fortunate right about that time to make a connection with Brant Secunda, who is a shaman, a healer, a ceremonial leader, and certainly probably not on your standard list of people that most athletes would seek out to help them. But, you know, I was fortunate in that I saw that just being fit physically was not the secret to winning the Ironman. And over the years, now I've studied with Brant for 20 years, I've seen other athletes who have come to him for help. And me personally, I know that transformation from being good athlete to really having a fit soul and having my focus in the right place and having my, being able to deal with the stress of racing in the right way and to just feel at home on the big island where the Ironman takes place was so important. And it was studying with Brant and learning from him and having him really help me out that helped shift my focus and enabled me to go there in 1989 and to just have the confidence to say, hey, who I am is good enough to win this race. And before that, I didn't really have that feeling. I was trying to become just like Dave Scott, but we're two very different people who have deep respect for each other, but we have a different approach to life. And it was through my connection with Brandt and learning from Brandt that I finally was able to go to the Big Island and just have it be okay to say, you know, I am who I am, and hopefully that will be good enough to win this race, and if not, I'm just here to have the best race I can.
Well, I mean, there's so much that I want to say. Let's see. So on one level, when it comes to the book and the teachings that you guys do and the workshops, that I get so excited about is that, Mark, you are a world-class athlete. And, you know, and I've been a former college swim coach. And so, you know, on the coaching side of things, you know, we spend a lot of time on maybe technique, on fitness, on nutrition, you know, and then there's some visualization. But there, when you really talk about like the soul and stuff, and I'm reading your book and I'm like, wow, this is kind of woo-woo, you know. And I interview a lot of people about spirituality and so on and so forth. But one the thing that I liked about your book is that you had athletic metaphors, or for me, it was a lot easier for, like, I always have to take, just because of my own background, I have to take things back into an athletic realm and it makes sense. And so you were able to tie these two different areas and bring them together to show how it works.
Well, that was what Brandt taught me how to do, is to take tools and techniques that are common to all of us and use that to just make me better as a person and stronger as a person, and then to take that into my endeavor at the time, which I was putting most of my energy, which was triathlon. You know, I'm in some ways kind of the eternal skeptic in that, you know, when somebody tells me to do something, I will try it, and if it works, I will use it, and if it doesn't work, you know, I toss it aside. And everything that Brandt has showed me really has helped. And, you know, in our book, you know, I don't think you can get more normal, let's say, than dealing with stress. That's one of our keys, is teaching people how to deal with stress or to quiet your mind. That doesn't get much more normal than that. And as I'm sure Brandt will talk about on your show today, you know, he helped me to use one of our tools, which we say is connecting to the power of nature. And to put it in a normal term, we all have had moments, I'm sure, where we've, you know, you're standing in front of a, you know, an amazing mountaintop in the Sierras when it has just snowed, or you're at the ocean and the waves are big, or even you're just outside at sunset and there's those amazing colors in the sky, and you look at those places in nature and you go, wow, look at that. And in that moment where you go, wow, look at that, you forget that you have credit card debt, you forget that your house payment's coming up or that your car isn't working or whatever's bothering you, and you just feel good about life. And, you know, it's when we feel good about life, it brings back hope and trust that things will work out in the end for us. And, you know, for me, working out in the end meant that hopefully someday I can win the Ironman, which I did back in '89.
And I also think, you know, for indigenous cultures, the ideas that we have presented in the book are very grounded and very normal.
Mm-hmm.
They're not considered far out or esoteric. You know, they're just very normal. Like the Huichol see themselves as farmers. I mean, that's as normal as you can get. And Don Jose, when you would ask him, well, who are you? He would say, I'm a farmer. But by farming, you know, you develop a fit body. Down in the fields every day, and the Huichols would gather firewood and to cook the food on the fire. And so they were a perfect example of fit soul, fit body in a very normal context.
Well, and so, Brandt, when you first started working with Mark Allen, this is a very non-traditional, like, kind of relationship in the athletic world.
Mark and myself?
Yes.
Yes.
And so what were your thoughts?
Oh, it was great. You know, Mark, he just was a very kind-hearted person. You could see that right away. And I think that added to his power. You know, the Huichols also talk about to be humble and to have humility is a very strong power in and of itself. And I think, you know, going back to your question with Mark, you know, about the Ironman, I think you have to have a certain humility and humbleness to race there on that island, because the island itself is such a strong, natural place of power that I think anyone participating in the you know, the triathlon, the Ironman race there have to be in awe of that great power, or from my prejudiced perspective, of that great shamanic power that they have there. And so I saw that Mark, you know, was a very humble person. And so for me, it was always great to work with him, and we worked really well together.
Now, were you at all nervous about working with, you know, such a world-class athlete?
Not really. You know, I've worked with different movie stars and different people before. And, you know, of course it was different because Mark is definitely a great athlete. But I think the same principles apply to anyone. You know, they apply whether you're an athlete or a professor or just a, you know, whoever we are. But I, in Mark's case, though, I tried to make the teachings for him applicable to what he was doing, in particular, triathlon.
And Mark, what you said you have like kind of an inner skeptic. So at first with this, what were you skeptical about?
Well, you know, I grew up in America, you know, as we all have here, probably most people listening. And, you know, in our culture, in the Western or modern mindset, we don't maybe place a lot of value on just the tools that Brandt teaches, you know. But if you go to down to Mexico and visit the Huichol Indians, certainly all of the techniques that they employ, having, you know, paying attention to their dreams or connecting with nature, these are things that if you don't do, you're not considered normal. So, you know, for me, like you said, as an athlete, my entire world was based on numbers. You know, I'm going faster, I'm going slower, I'm going 100-mile ride or 120 or, you know, 5 hours, a lot of stuff like that, all about numbers. And really, what takes all of those numbers and that fitness and brings it to a whole different level is when we look inside and ask ourselves, what is it about me that might be holding me back from the success that I'm after? How can I change old patterns that hold me back? I'm afraid of the Ironman. How do I transform that fear into strength, into courage, into trust or hope? How do I take an adversary as strong as Dave Scott and view this as a positive way to bring the best out in me? And these were all things that Brandt helped me do.
And we try to put them in the book as well. It can be for anyone.
And you know, and the thing that's so interesting is in 89, I mean, when you beat Dave Scott, you beat him at his best because he broke his world record by 15 minutes. And you broke your best time by 25 minutes.
Yeah, something like that.
And
that was a good day for me. And ironically, Dave and I gave a talk together in Los Angeles a few years ago where it was at a big theater, and we went back and forth telling our stories leading up to the race in 1989. And then at the most critical moment in the race, you know, I had this whole shift that happened because my mind finally went quiet. I was not able to even hold on to negative thoughts because at that point Dave Scott was surging. He was looking like he was going to win and I was going to lose once again. But in the moment of silence, then the connection to the Huichol Indians and to Brandt and to his grandfather who taught him, Don Jose, came back, and I was just felt this strength and trust in my own life, and trust in life itself was pouring into my body. And it was an experience that when I relayed it to my friends and family afterwards, they thought, boy, this guy's kind of flipped a little bit. But, you know, it was the most normal thing to have happen, that it's a human experience. And ultimately, whether we're doctors, lawyers, you know, firemen, nurses, whatever it is that we are, our life comes down to the human experience. And that is something that Brandt has really helped me to experience at a much deeper, profound, whole level. And so in the race, as I was recounting how all of this transformation took place in the heat of the biggest race of my entire career, racing against the best guy in the sport at the time, I had this totally shamanic experience. And Dave was on stage, and he just shook his head, and he goes, "Yeah, right." And I was like, our Western mind doesn't have a place to put those experiences. But we don't have words for some of those experiences in our culture, but
this is Corinne Modicite.
Language for it, yeah. But you know, we all have experienced love, but you can't quantify love. We've all had experienced joy, but you can't really quantify joy. And these are the experiences that are brought out in Fit Soul, Fit Body, and especially through a lot of the tools that Brant shares in our book.
This is Corinne Motokaitis of How She Really Does It, and I'm talking with six-time Ironman triathlon champion Mark Allen and world-famous, Hucho shaman and healer, Brant Secunda. And, Mark, I think, you know, that story about Dave and shaking his head, and, you know, because in sports, it's so analytical, and, you know, the emotional side of things we don't really deal with that, right? It's about your training, how hard are you working, your fitness levels, you know, even, you know, how you're fueling your body in sleep and recovery. But that whole soul, and when you talk about quieting the mind, you know, that's still to some in our Western society kind of a woo-woo. You know, it's kind of more common now because yoga has become so popular. But
And you remember, you know, 10, 15 years ago, yoga was considered completely woo-woo.
Mm-hmm.
Acupuncture, you couldn't use insurance, health insurance for acupuncture, and now it's very common. But I think people are evolving in a good way.
And that's why it's so exciting for you guys to come together with this book, because you're bringing it into the spectrum that, especially with athletics, it's been so separated from this. And I was watching a video, and it was talking about this race, and it was with you and Dave Scott, and it's interesting because in your book you talk about the moment when you decided to go, and just how your brain was talking it was very descriptive, so I think that was really good for especially for athletes to realize that sometimes there's talk and what do you need to do and how to quiet that talk, and then it was interesting because I heard Dave's side on this little video I was watching, and he talked about Mark Allen left, and I knew it was over. He had won the race, even though, you know, there was still some to go. But he, at that point, his mind shut himself down on his possibilities.
Well, it was interesting because all of the years leading up to that race, I had fear.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, we all have fear. But in the moments that are requiring the best of us, we don't have the luxury of having our attention or focus being stuck on what we're afraid of, because we're being called to put out our best effort. And if, you know, even 5% of my focus is caught being afraid of Dave Scott, then I don't have 100% of what I have to give in that moment. And, you know, this is something that Brant emphasizes so often, is that we have to be fearless in the face of our fears. And I'm sure he'll elaborate on that. But
in one place in the book, I think it's chapter 3, where we talk about that, where you can have fear and still be fearless. And that's, I think, an important point.
And Brant, can you explain, because there's right now tremendous fear in our country with the economy and everything that's
right.
happening. So I think this would be a good thing to talk about, even from a non-athletic standpoint, just for the listeners to understand how to use this tool.
Right. Well, I think that that's how we open the chapter in the book, chapter 3, where we say, you know, we talk about managing, you know, fear and stress, and that this is such an important tool that can be used now, today, because, like you say, people are totally, you know, afraid. They have fear about the economy, and that's why our book, I think, is so appropriate for now. You know, where you just work with fear, like we open that chapter with the quote, you can be fearless and still have a little fear. You know, do not surrender to fear, but go through it with dignity and grace. And that's, I think, important for everyone, whether you're an athlete or just a person dealing with the fear of the economy or whatever. I think that people have to go through these things with dignity and grace, and realize that in the end, everything will be okay. So be fearless in the face of your fears. And repeating this, you know, 1,000 times to your soul can give you strength. It can give you strength in, you know, as you go through the fear. And that about that will give people confidence and trust that they need to go forward. And I think this is important.
So is it acknowledging that the fear is there and then changing the way that you think about the fear?
Yes, because, you know, we all get afraid, like Mark was just saying. You know, he was afraid of the big island. You know, we all have fear on some level. I think every person has some kind of fear at some point in their life. And so you just do not surrender to the fear. You do not indulge in the fear. I think that's what can make a big difference. You know, it's not the situation that comes before you, but how you handle the situation that can make it a more positive experience for people, and especially now with all the fear that's all over the news and in the newspapers. You know, it's all people are speaking about, a lot of what people are speaking about is fear. And so I think it's important in using, you know, from a shamanic perspective that fear can be overcome with self-confidence. And if you're humble about it, I think you can just help people go through it in a positive way.
You know, I learned from Brandt, one of the tools that we emphasize in our book is quieting the mind.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, to use the sport metaphor again, when I was racing, there were elements of every Ironman that I did, even the ones that I won, where fear would come up, something would happen, somebody would be stronger, or I wasn't feeling as good as I had hoped, and I would be afraid that in the end it wouldn't turn out the way I had hoped. And so, you know, in those moments where you're afraid, you sort of have that overwhelming feeling like life is going to be death and doom for the rest of time. But ultimately, every moment passes, and eventually we make it through every tough situation. But you know, for transforming that fear for me personally, I realized that, you know, we like to replace fear with a positive thought, but sometimes, you know, when things get really tough, forget it. There's no way you're going to come up with a positive thought. So the most powerful place to approach those moments is to find that place inside that does have quiet. And in silence, in that quiet, there's peace. And when you feel even for a second, a moment of peace, then you draw in strength and energy again. And then as you do that, then you start to transform that moment that's happening, and you can make it through a tough workout or a difficult conversation with a loved one. In my races, I make it through those moments where Dave Scott is surging. And to bring it, you know, back to your original question there, I think in that moment where I start to pull away from Dave, it was at about 7 hours and 50 minutes of racing, and he was the best in the sport from hour 7 to hour 8 of the race, that closing hour. And so suddenly I was pulling away from him in a moment where it was his strength, and he was, all of a sudden, he was faced with fear because this was a situation he'd never had to deal with before.
Mm-hmm.
And so unfortunately he didn't have the world's greatest shaman and healer teaching him to say, hey, quiet your mind and just give it everything you have and see what happens. You know, in that moment, you could see he had fear if you look at the video.
Well, you know, and it's interesting because when he made that comment, and this is an interview that was done, you know, more recently than not, and but it was his mind. It just sounded like, okay, I'm done. You know, there's and one of the things when I was reading about that part from you was that you did kind of quiet. You had all these, you know, negative feelings that were coming up, but then you just quieted the mind.
Yes. Even my last race, I was 13 and a half minutes behind the leader of it when I came off the bike, and the guy that was winning was 13 and a half minutes ahead, and he was 14 years younger. I was 37 years old at that time, which is ancient athletically, mm-hmm. and totally impossible to think about winning the race. But I, at that point, had been studying many years with Brandt, and it took every tool that he gave me to just hold on to that thread of self-confidence that says somehow, however this turns out, it's going to be okay, and I will be okay, and my life will go on. And those are just three simple thoughts that can indeed bring confidence back to you in the tough moments, whether it's trying to win an Ironman or just dealing, like Brant was saying, with the tough moments in the economy. Somehow this will turn around. Somehow I will make it, and I will be okay, and my family will be okay. It may look different than we hope, but it will work out.
And so it's not about figuring out the how. It's just not letting the fear stop us.
Right. Because sometimes I would ask my reach old grandfather, you know, how does this work or how does that work? And he would often say, like you're alluding to, he would just say, I don't know, but we just know that it does work sometimes. And that was always a very big inspiration for me as well, and still is. You know, that we can't always figure out the hows, but we can do the practice, do the race, or do whatever it is that we're trying to do.
You're listening to Karen Motokaitis on How She Really Does It, and I'm talking with Mark Allen and Brant Secunda about their book, Fit Soul, Fit Body. Brant, so it sounds like, especially in our Western culture, especially from an athletic standpoint, but in our Western culture, we teach a lot about the body and, you know, about training the body and about what to put in our body, but we don't really spend time teaching about training our mind. And that seems to be the component that you brought in for Mark Allen for his triathlon.
Right, because, you know, all the triathlon athletes or triathletes were all doing the same training together, and they were, you know, spending a lot of time together, racing together or biking, swimming, and I think that what made Mark's approach a little different was that he was trying to work with his mind in a unique way, and I feel that that's what helped him gain the confidence to keep winning all those times.
And, you know, if you think about it, what holds anybody back from the results they're after? If you're, let's say you're trying to lose weight and you know that part of that is going to be exercising, and you don't go to the gym or you don't go out and you don't do that walk that you had planned. Well, it's not that the walk got in the way. It's just that there was something inside of you that held you back. Maybe you are indeed afraid that you can put out that effort and you won't get where you want to be. And this is the part that we call having a fit soul, having that trust and confidence and gaining tools so that you do have the motivation to continue on even when things that are important to achieve might seem impossible in that one moment on that day or in that week.
I interview a lot of people, and one of the things that keeps coming up is that successful people, they have obstacles or they may have voices that tell them that they can't, but they just either don't listen to them or they find a way through them. And it sounds like Mark, with working with Brant, he just helped you train your mind so well to get through those obstacles of when, you know, you may stop yourself. You may say, okay, Dave Scott, he's a closer. This is his part of his race, and he's ahead of me, and, you know, I'll be second this year.
Yeah, you know, part of it is your mind, but a lot of it is your own relationship and trust to life, and that's what we call having a fit soul. In our book, we try to give people tools right in the beginning that help them sort of clear the ground for a new approach to life and a way to get rid of the things that may have held them back in the past, whether they're old patterns or fears or doubts about themselves. And to see that one of the tools we have in there is we say, honor yourself. That's one of our nine keys, to honor yourself. And so what does that mean? Well, honoring yourself says, I will take care of my body. I will exercise so that I stay healthy. Honoring yourself says, I will eat right so that I have a balanced hormonal system and that I have even moods. And honoring yourself says, I will take the time to go out and just experience joy in my life by taking a walk or watching the sunset or watching the colors in the sunrise. And honoring yourself also says that I may not be Dave Scott, but I still have value and worth on this planet.
So important. That's so important. So, Brant, is this a daily practice then for people?
Yes. There's tools that we offer in the book. People can just read the book, and there's a lot in there that they can just practice themselves at home, and it doesn't matter from, you know, where they come and what they're doing. But there are just some valuable tools in there that they can practice right away and use in their everyday life, which can really help bring positive change and transform someone's life just by the simple tools that are in that book.
And you talk about stress, as Mark mentioned earlier in the book, and you have some, and you have tools and kind of steps about what to do with stress. And what are, can you give some examples about how to help alleviate stress in our lives?
Well, you know, one of the simplest tools that we give is react with calmness. And, you know, this is such a, you know, so many times we forget that that's actually the way we can respond to stressful situations, react with calmness. Because a lot of the times, the thing that's most difficult about the stress is that we are getting stressed out. And if there's a situation, for me, a race, let's say, that was completely stressful because I didn't know how it was going to turn out and I would hope that I would win, but maybe I won't. That's stressful. But I can react with calmness, meaning take a breath. Just take that deep breath, let all that anxiety out, and then move forward and see how things turn out.
And we have it as key number one in the book, just because that's something that everyone is dealing with, especially now. So, you know, we tell people to respond with calmness. You can clear your mind with laughter. That's such an important part of I think, all of our lives that can help us, you know, and quieting the mind. These are all special techniques that can help us, as we say, to evict emotional stress.
And Brant always emphasized, too, this is something that people don't think about in relation to stress, is that it's so important to have a relationship with community.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as an athlete, I had that community of people that I trained with. And so if there's, with stress often it's easy to become isolated. But if we have a community of friends, of people with like-minded attitudes and focus who are trying to do positive things in life, then we have support to make it through those tough times. And, you know, no one lives on this planet alone or isolated ultimately. And we can gain strength to make it through stressful situations by fostering positive community relationships with our friends and our family.
And so something, you know, so simple as laughter can be such a healing part of our lives. You know, there was a book, I think it was by Dr. Cousins, and he did a medical study on the healing power of laughter about, I think, 30 years ago now, and the book was very popular then, and he just did a clinical study of the effects of laughter. And this is something that everyone can use, you know, to laugh as a way to help conquer stress. You know, just to laugh, joke around like that.
Brant, can you explain the finding clarity through the image of the deer?
Right, well, the deer is seen as our higher self,
mm-hmm.
the part of us, each person, it knows everything already. And I think we've all had those feelings, and we would call that also intuition. So what we would call in, you know, the English language, intuition, that we chose sometimes refer to as the deer, the image of the deer. And so this is something that we speak about quite often. Like just to draw upon the image of a deer and see that deer is part of who we are. As, you know, we are all, for example, mammals. We're living on the earth, and so we are part of our world around us. We are part of our environment. And so that higher self, or what we would call intuition, is part of what the Huichols refer to as the deer. And so this is what we mean.
You know, as an example, Brant mentioned that intuition. You know, when I'm in a race, there's key moments where I have to back off and other key moments where I have to push hard. And there's no way you can logically figure out when those are going to be. And so I would use this image that Brandt uses, you know, that image of a deer or that part of my heart that knows the answers to all of these things already. And so then I would try to keep my mind quiet so then when those moments were right, I would sort of just go. I would just push it. And there's no logic behind it. And if you think about it, you know, the answers to the big questions in life rarely come through a logical process. They often come when we are out just having a walk and we're breathing in the air, or when we are quiet and we're just trying to tune into what's the right thing to do here. You know, I'm not sure. I'm not clear. And then we use that image.
And imagery and visualization now is, as you know, accepted by the World Health Organization, the American Medical Association, as a viable technique for bringing about change or dealing with different parts of life. And so we have one exercise in the book. It would be hard to explain it, you know, on air, but I think it's one example of how the Wheatfield would work with the image of the deer as a positive visualization to bring about positive change.
So much of what you guys are doing, it just sounds like, you know, being connected, your body, soul, mind, and then also being connected to greater power than yourself.
Right, which I think is important. You know, a lot of different traditions or systems of, you know, healing, whether they be from psychology or from an indigenous culture, talk about that as well. You know, just becoming a whole person. And by becoming, the Wheatfield say, becoming a whole person, a person recognizes that he is part of something great. I mean, we're not alone in the world. We are part of something great, or as you said, a part of a great power.
And so is that when you realize that you're part of something great, is that where that self-worth can really rise instead of thinking, oh, who am I? You know, Dave
right.
Scott is just this phenomenal athlete.
Exactly. Like, not just to think, oh, I'm alone, I'm by myself, but rather, here I am. I'm a part of life. I'm a part of the beauty around me. You know, this sunset or this sunrise is part of also me. I'm also an inhabitant of the earth. And it's these little moments that can really change a person's life. And this is what we are trying to, you know, bring to people. And it's very simple. On one hand, nothing new, you know, but we try to put it in a format where people can understand it.
And to, since you like the sport metaphors, let me put it in those terms. The last Ironman that I did was in 1995. I was trying to go for what would be hopefully win number 6. And at that point, you know, I didn't need to win any more Ironmans to feel like I had completed my time in the sport. I, you know, at that point I had 5. So what was the reason for me to go back and race? And one of the things that really inspired me was to just go back and to sort of honor my life and honor, as Brandt said, that higher power that says, hey, just go out and be the best you can be. And
you also said you did that one for yourself.
Yeah. And
more than, you know, you didn't have a specific reason.
Yeah, it was just to go out and to be an expression of being the best I could be. And that's, you know, that I think is sort of that honoring that higher purpose. And if you, as we all know, like, you know, programs for alcohol cessation all have an element of honoring a higher power. And so if having that be a key for something that can prevent people from giving into one of the toughest addictions to give up, then certainly it can be a tool for positive change in one's own life on any level.
You're listening to Karen Motokaitis, and I'm talking with Mark Allen, 6-time Ironman triathlete champion, and Shimon Brandt Segunda, about their book, Fit Soul, Fit Body. You know, it's so interesting because I do think, you know, that when we talk about higher power, you know, people, that kind of throws some people off. But it's that control factor, right? It's like, oh, well, this is only possible if I can control it. And like Brant has talked about that, we don't know how sometimes things, you know, work or how things happen. And just letting go of this expected outcome and being along for what's the possibilities and seeing what's out there.
Right. I mean, you remember Einstein even talked about a higher intelligence, and he wrote some papers about this as well. And the physicists today, I think they clearly recognize there is some kind of a higher power, and they're just not sure what context to relate to it in. So these are different ideas that we talk about, you know, obviously in the book, but also at our workshops that we teach around the country and around the world.
Yeah, we have one coming up near you in San Francisco on February 27th and 28th. It's going to be at the St. Francis Hotel. And in that, people will be able to go really into an experience of the tools that we give for body and soul, so that they see that, hey, yeah, I understand that. As you mentioned, Peter Reed came to one of the workshops that we teach together, you know, an Ironman champion, and after he experienced it himself, he goes, ah, now I see what you've been talking about all these years. So there really is something great about coming to a point where you can talk with Brant and I, and we can give you these tools, and you can try them out right there on the spot.
Well, Mark, I think that's one of the things that's great about your involvement with all of this, because, again, you're a world-class athlete who uses this, and I think it helps give it more validity, you know, and because it's so outside the norm, even though there's sports psychology and that's been, you know, pretty much embraced, it's still not a traditional way to help train. And so that, I think that's a really good thing about your involvement with this, because, you know, with those skeptics out there, it's like, well, this is something that I did and it worked for me, and then come try it.
You know, I can understand people's skepticism because, like I said, our society doesn't really have a language for some of the experiences that I've had with Brant and how they can really help, how they've helped me. But, you know, like we have said in our book, Fit Soul, Fit Body, the tools are touch people on that level of commonality among all of us. You know, we use wording and language that, and experiences to explain our ideas and concepts in a way that everybody, if you've been alive for more than about 10 or 15 years, you will have had those experiences and go, oh, uh-huh, okay. Yeah, I do remember that time I was looking at Lake Tahoe for the first time, and I went, wow, look at that. And I do remember that, you know, I forgot I had problems, and my life just felt a little better in that moment. Things like that. And we explain a lot of this also on our website, fitsoulfitbody.com. There's a lot of teasers about what's in the book. And also we have our fitness test up on the website. And it's not your traditional fitness test of determining, you know, how much do you weigh, or are you over your ideal weight. It's more about gauging your happiness in life and your wellness in life and how you approach difficult moments or situations. And so it's a window into what's in the book, and anybody can go on there and check it out. We love that.
I'm wrapping up our discussion with Mark Allen, 6-time Ironman triathlete and champion, and Shimon Brant Secunda about their book, Fit Soul, Fit Body. You're listening to Karen Motokaitis on How She Really Does It. I do want to talk a little bit more about the nature and connecting with the nature, because that's something you guys discuss quite a bit. Brant, why is that so important?
I think we're all connected to our environment, whether we live in a big city like New York or wherever, or whether we live in a rural area, because there's always a sunrise, always a sunset. Every day the sun rises in the east, sets in the west, for example. And so just to know where the sun rises every day, we would say that's part of our spiritual address, or where the sun sets. Like, you know, we teach our kids here in America, or, you know, we teach them their telephone number, for example, so in case they get lost, or kids memorize their address. Whereas in indigenous cultures, everyone knows where the sun rises, where the sun sets, and that helps people feel more at home. feel that joy and to feel that feeling of awareness and being content. And so that's why we think it's so important for, you know, women, for men, for children, for all people. It can just bring so much into your life, and that's what it matters. I remember when I finished my apprenticeship, Don Jose said, well, most important thing you can do is help people laugh and so that they, that their body feels well. And so that's important. That ties in, I think, because, you know, a lot of your listeners are concerned with having a fit body. Mm-hmm. And so we would say joy and, you know, being content makes you have a fit body or helps you to have a fit body. It's directly connected.
So in this time of January where all these resolutions are being put out there.
Right, New Year's resolution.
Yes, and and you have people that, you know, want to lose weight and they may have the mindset, oh, this just never works, I can never do it, I'm a failure. What would you say to that?
Well, most people who, they've shown that most people who try to lose weight but don't, it's because they start, let's say, an exercise program with too much intensity. And so it's not a positive experience. It's painful. It hurts. But we really, really emphasize in our book, and one of the keys is slow down to get faster. And that addresses our common genetics, which is basically set up to do steady exercise throughout the day. That's how people in ancient times and in indigenous cultures today, like the Huichol Indians, that's how they stay healthy. They don't have gym memberships. And they don't go on the treadmill, but they walk.
Mm-hmm.
And so in our book, you know, we emphasize that if you have made your resolution to make that change in body that you want to for the upcoming year, just start out steady and realize that maybe the way that you did your exercise in the past wasn't done correctly. It doesn't have to be a no pain, no gain situation, and we really emphasize that. The second thing is often the thing that derails us, again, and it goes back to the fit soul, are just thoughts that people have. Maybe they don't have a self-image that they can lose that weight. Or maybe they're holding on to the weight, again, from a very negative past experience in their life. And so we give tools to help heal the inner part of our being that does naturally have motivation and trust and desire for change.
So, Mark, 20 years later, how has your mind evolved?
How has my mind
your
evolved?
Your mind,
boy.
Your soul?
I would say that just more and more I really see that it's the inner part of who I am that's the starting point for health and happiness. And that as I can continue to change that, then I have more desire and energy for changing and maintaining the health of my body. And that the more I maintain the health of my body, the better I feel about life and the more I trust in life. And it's like a circle that's intertwined, the two themes in our book. And I just wish that I had met Brant earlier in my career, because then I probably wouldn't have had to go through all of those six tough races in Kona. I probably could have had those great ones a little earlier.
And so, Brant, is it about just having faith?
A lot of it is about faith or belief.
Mm-hmm.
I know those are strong words, but just to have belief in the natural world, belief in the world of nature, and also, I think, belief in ourselves, what we talked about or what you talked about also, just to develop that self-confidence. And self-confidence is faith. I think that's a word that feels, you know, that people can feel a little more comfortable with, that can really help to, you know, change people's life. But, you know, to have faith that we as people are inherently beautiful people, are inherently good, you know, people here on the earth, and it's up to us to develop that faith and belief in our connection to ourselves and to our environment and the world of nature. And that way, hopefully, can bring us, you know, a power that translates into also having a powerful body. So if you are an athlete, as Mark, you know, was a great, great triathlete, it can translate into having a good race, whatever it is that we do.
And ultimately, you know, one of the last tools that we emphasize is live what you ask for. And this is so important. You know, we all seek change, but we have to live those small focused steps that over time make big transformations in our lives.
Well, thank you, both of you, Mark and Brant. It's been a pleasure to have you on the air today with us.
Thank you, Corinne.
Yeah, we're really happy to have spoken with you.
Well, thank you. We've had Mark Allen and Brant Secunda, co-authors of Fit Soul, Fit Body. This is Corinne Motokaitis, and thanks for listening to How She Really Does It at KDRT LP 95.7 FM. You can catch the replays for the show on Sunday from 1 to 2. We'd love to hear our listeners' comments. You can always go to our website, howshereallydoesit.com, and click contact.
Ain't no river wide enough, baby.
If you need me, call me. No matter where you are, no matter how far.
Don't worry, baby.
Just call my name. I'll be there in a hurry. You don't have to.